It is November the 2nd, or correction, it was November the 2nd. It's almost the 4th of November here. We have 10 games to go through. We have some injuries to go through. We have a Joel Embiid sighting. This is the, what day of the week is it? It is the Saturday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91. Find us at FBI Basketball. We are also part of the Old Man Squad Network. You can follow them at Old Man Squad. Follow Dan Bespris at Dan Bespris. We are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, X, everywhere and anywhere. Rate, like, subscribe, please. A little bit later today, had some family things on. Had to go and coach a game of basketball as well. But getting it done, I'm on my only time limit tonight is that people are going to bed in my house. So I need to try and get it done before that happens. 10 games to get through. As I said, let's start with some injury news. Jaylen Brown didn't play today. Hip flexor, a lot of hip injuries. There always seems to be one injury that people get a lot of each year. It was thumbs a few years ago. Seems to be hips this year, a lot of hip injuries. No word that it's serious, but just keep an eye on it. Nick Richards didn't play, and the word, I believe, is that this is probably more than a one-game absence. Mark Williams, we don't have a date on, but I have heard that he's potentially a week away. We'll talk about the Hornets. They played first against the Celtics, so we'll get to that game very shortly. Brandon Miller did play tonight as well. Lauri Markkanen, no surprise, he missed Saturday's game, but he is confident he'll return during the road trip at some point, but probably a tough guy to start in weekly leagues for next week. Caris LeVert did not play last night, tonight, whatever I want to say. Who else have we got that was significant? Emmanuel Quickley, still ruled out. He's doubtful, hasn't even been upgraded to questionable yet. So, I'd say he's probably still at least a couple of games away. Dyson Daniels, however, has been upgraded to questionable for Sunday's game against the Pelicans. So fingers crossed he can get out there. If he's usually the questionable upgrade is a pretty good indication that they're close. So, yeah, whether he plays, I'm not sure, but I would say it'll be the next game or the one after that. So another guy with a hip injury. Who else did we have? Had a few injuries, had a few locker room trips. Şengün went to the locker room but managed to come back. Nothing too significant. I think we talked about Isaiah Jackson on yesterday's show. He's going to have surgery on his Achilles. Did we? Or maybe we didn't. Maybe it was after that. Yeah, so anyway, really bad luck for the Pacers, obviously losing James Wiseman and Isaiah Jackson both to torn Achilles. Done for the year. What are the Pacers going to do now? I'm not sure. They really only have Miles Turner, and then it's, do they look at someone like an Obi Toppin? They don't have Jalen Smith anymore either. So are they just going to run a whole lot of small, or do they have to sign a center? I think they're probably going to be shopping around and trying to get a center, because Obi Toppin at center is not going to work if they have aspirations of getting back to the playoffs this season. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. Let's move straight into the games. No, not that one. Let's go that one. All right. First game of the night was Boston and Charlotte, a rematch from the night before, and not the same score, but the same result. Boston get the win 113-103. Horford was back for this one, but with Jaylen Brown out, Luke Kornet started and had easily his best game of the season. And no, I am not adding him after this performance. Perfect from the field, 6 of 6, 7 of 7 from the line. Two blocks, a steal, 19 points. potentially his best game of the year. So if you did stream him in or sort of held him from the night before and accidentally forgot to drop him, then well done. Horford, yeah, look, it's the risk you run when you roster him. He had 0 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists and a steal in his 27 minutes. Everyone else was fine, though. Peyton Pritchard bounced back. He had 22 points, including 6 3-pointers. Doesn't give you a lot else, but playing heavy minutes and scoring the ball well this season. Charlotte, Miles Bridges continues to be really underwhelming. 6 points. And his shooting wasn't even that bad, 2 of 6. So, I mean, it's not great, but only 6 shot attempts. I'm not sure what's going on. He doesn't appear to be injured or anything. He's just really not playing well. So 6 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Not much you can do with him. You just have to hold and hope that he figures it out at some point. Grant Williams started at center with Nick Richards out and did nothing. I think, did I talk about it on the show? I don't know. I just don't think he's a very good player. I think he's probably annoyed at the world because he was playing for Boston. They won a title. He was playing for Dallas. They went to the NBA Finals. He's now playing with Charlotte. So maybe a pattern, maybe not. Who knows? Brandon Miller, he returned, played 31 minutes, had 16 points. 2 steals, 6 assists. Looked pretty good. So I get the bug off my screen. Looked pretty good. The fact he played 31 minutes would indicate that he is ready to go. LaMelo Ball had 36 points, 6 assists, 3 steals. Everything going here. He did foul out, but 15 of 26 from the field, 6 of 12. Didn't get to the free throw line. I guess that's maybe the only negative here. Trey Mann, quiet off the bench with only 10 points, but he remains a hold. And look, with no center there, I'm not adding Grant Williams. I don't know if they're going to run with this lineup every game. I thought Diabate might be someone to look at, but he only played 14 minutes. I think it's probably just going to be a different guy each game. Deeper leagues, I guess you could pick up Grant Williams just because he's going to be playing 30-plus minutes. But as I said, I'm not a huge fan. On to the next one. Philadelphia continue to suck. They lost to Memphis. Good. We know they're dealing with a few injuries. So Aldama continues to start. Jalen Wells continues to start. Good game for Wells. He had 15 points, 2 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 threes. He's looking really comfortable in that starting role. Doesn't offer much outside of points and threes, but worth considering just while the Grizzlies are shorthanded. Likewise for Aldama, he had 10 and 13 with a steal and a block. He is worth rostering. Zach Edey, continuing to look a little bit better, 22 minutes, which is encouraging, 10 and 10 with a steal and a block. So he has put together a couple of good games here. So I would be holding him. Upside's pretty limited just because it doesn't look like they're going to push him above 22 minutes. But, yeah, this was sort of a blowout, sort of not. So I don't know if it's an accurate reflection. But, I think 22 minutes is enough for him to have value. Scottie Pippen had 12 and 13 in his 29 minutes off the bench. He is a must roster. Jay Huff is not. He had 20 points in 14 minutes. Shot the ball really well. Good game, but we've seen what he's done the last couple of games, so I'm not rushing to add him. Over to the Philly side, Kelly Oubre. Yeah, if you want to roster him, you can. He did have 14 points. He had 9 of those, I feel like, in the first 4 minutes. He hit 3 threes in a row, really did nothing after that. 2 steals and a block is handy. As soon as they start getting their guys back, he is going to drop off the radar, I think. Andre Drummond, speaking of dropping off the radar, 4 points, 9 rebounds. He's probably still a hold just because of the rebounds alone until Joel Embiid is back. But he's been pretty underwhelming. Tyrese Maxey, good enough, 23 points, 6 assists, 3 steals. Not his best game, but certainly not his worst game. Jared McCain was good off the bench, 19 points, but only 17 minutes, still not playing enough for me to have sustainable value there. And I guess Kyle Lowry, I don't know. He's just a hold. He's playing pretty limited minutes. 10.2 steals is okay, but I'm not really interested. And yes, we did have a Joel Embiid sighting, but it was not during the game. It was after the game. Had a little altercation with the press there. No word on what's going to happen here, other than the NBA is doing launching an investigation. So apparently, it was some journalist that had written a column, I think, which mentioned some family members and that sort of thing. So, yeah, watch this space to see if there are any repercussions there for Joel Embiid in terms of when he can return. I do see some questions in there. We will get to them at the end, just so you're aware that I see them. Let's go to the next game. Sacramento and Toronto. Raptors were up big-ish in this one. Kings came back. Raptors get the win in overtime, 131 to 128. For Sacramento, we know the big four. They're fine. DeRozan, Murray, Sabonis, Fox. I'm not going to spend too much time talking about them. Triple-double for Sabonis, so that's good to see his assist numbers back up. Doug McDermott started for whatever reason because Kevin Huerter was out with an illness. They wanted to keep Monk, I suppose, in that sixth man role, but interesting they didn't slide Keon Ellis in as the starter. McDermott did nothing as expected. Monk had his best game of the season, 21 points, so maybe this gets him going. Huerter had been slightly outplaying him, but I do prefer Monk. Keon Ellis, in his 27 minutes, had two steals and two blocks. He's really just a steals streamer or a defensive streamer at this point because he has been playing limited, reduced minutes off the bench, let's say reduced minutes. Onto the Raptors. Another really good game from RJ Barrett. He continues to play really well. 10 of 26 from the field, obviously not ideal. 8 of 11 from the free throw line. Not his worst, but still not great. He had 31 points anyway, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal. Jakob Poeltl continues his really strong season. Grady Dick had 22 points with 2 steals and remains a must-roster player. Ochai Agbaji, probably his best game or one of his best games, 22 points, 2 steals, 5 rebounds, efficient, 9 of 12 from the floor. Worth a look, I think, while Barnes is out. It's sort of between him and Jonathan Mobo, and he was far better here than Mobo. I know there's a bit of hype about Mobo, and he's a good defensive player, but I just don't think he's going to see enough minutes consistently. He had 16 minutes here, finished with 6 points, a steal, and a block. I don't think he has to be rostered. He's more of just a streamer. And Chris Boucher had 24 points in 25 minutes. With nothing else, we've seen him do this before. I am not adding Chris Boucher. The Warriors and the Rockets. Another weird game here. Warriors were up by about 30 at one point. Rockets came back, forced overtime. We'll talk about the Rockets box score in a second and how they got the game back into be competitive. But for the Warriors, Draymond Green, we just hold him until Curry's back and then reevaluate. Melton will come back as well. He had 14 and 11. Andrew Wiggins, 15 and 3. Yeah, he's plugging along. Trayce Jackson-Davis, on the other hand, is not, and I think he can be dropped. He only played 13 minutes here. No reason to be holding him. No reason to be holding Moses Moody. No Podziemski, probably. 38 minutes. He did lead the team in minutes. So 12 points, 6 assists, a block. I think we're holding him. We're obviously holding Buddy Hield and trying to sell high if we can because this shooting is not sustainable. 27 points on 9 of 14 shooting. Obviously, the Warriors' structures are really good for Buddy. He's fitted in really well, but yeah, this isn't sustainable. And Jonathan Kuminga, look, the line looks pretty good. He had 23 points, 6 rebounds and assist, 2 threes. But 26 minutes in an overtime game, that's okay. And there were periods of the game where he was just unplayable. He sort of, I don't know, like they kept him on late, but through the middle of the game there, I thought he would have been on. He wasn't. So I'm not confident. I'm holding him, obviously. 23 points is worth holding, at least while Curry is out. But as we know, Curry could be back for the next game. So, yeah, just keep an eye on that for Houston. Yeah, as I said, pulled back in this one after being down big, and it was on the back of their bench, hence the inflated playing time for both Tari Eason and Amen Thompson, both of whom had easily their best game of the season. Tari Eason had 27 points, 9 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 blocks, 3 threes. We know he can do this, but that's almost double what he's been getting in terms of playing time. Same goes for Tari Eason, 18 and 11 with 4 assists and a steal. He's only been getting 20 minutes as well, 19 minutes. So both guys, I've talked about it to no end, that I think they should be rostered if you can hold them. They're sort of a stash, sort of not a stash. If you can hold them, I would. I'm holding Tari, I think, in 3 leagues, 2 or 3, and same for Amen Thompson, because I think we only need one injury, or as we saw here, a poor performance by one or two players for them to play bigger minutes. As for the starters, Dylan Brooks sucked. We don't need him. Alperen Şengün continues to struggle, only 21 minutes. He did have that locker room trip, as I said, but he just wasn't playing that well. He had 14 and 10 with a block. Fred VanVleet, one of the biggest buy lows of all time, 2 of 12 from the field. Yeah, throw out your buy low offers on him. And Jalen Green finally called off. He had 7 points in his 34 minutes, but pretty clear hold there. Okay, Cleveland and the Bucks. Bucks had an opportunity late to win this. Dame 3. It was close, but didn't drop. 113 to the Cavs. Yeah, normal performance here. Cavs, they're still rolling along nicely. Dean Wade is starting, but we don't need to roster him. With no Caris LeVert, we had more minutes for Isaac Okoro and Sam Merrill. Sam Merrill, we know, can be a 3-point streamer, a little bit like a Sam Hauser. He had 5 of them here. So if LeVert does miss more time, Merrill is someone to consider streaming in for the Bucks. Better, much better if we compare it to their last game. Lillard, who was coming off a terrible performance, he ended with 41 points, 9 assists. Shooting was much better. 5 of 8 from the line is weird. Don't pay attention to that. Giannis, really good. Brook Lopez, yeah, he's been serviceable, but I'm not sad. I didn't draft him anywhere. Gary Trent can be dropped. Taurean Prince, if you streamed him and then accidentally forgot to drop him like I did, I'm okay with it. He had 16 points, 6 rebounds and a steal. I really just want threes and steals, and he got, as I said, 1 steal and 4 threes. So pretty happy that I didn't drop him, but I probably will drop him now. And Bobby Portis, 10 points, 8 rebounds. In 20 minutes, I think I mentioned in my, my read and react a few days ago that Bobby Portis is probably borderline, and someone commented and said, should be this guy is a, what they say, 17 and 8 or 15 and 8 guy, and you wouldn't be dropping him. And he's not a 15 and 8 guy. He's nowhere near that this season. So I think he should still be rostered. But upside is very limited as long as the starters are healthy there in Milwaukee. Speaking of poor performances, the Timberwolves go down to the Spurs 113 to 103, and that actually flatters the Timberwolves, to be honest, that scoreline. They were never really in this. Gobert got Wembied, 10 points, 3 rebounds. Yeah, just move on. He's been pretty good, so... Randall continues to be good. McDaniels, we don't need to roster him. Conley and DiVincenzo, who I talked about on yesterday's show, I think they are both still rosterable. Conley, really just for assists and steals, he had 3 of each here. DiVincenzo has a bit more offensive upside, and he actually played 28 minutes as opposed to Conley's 21. So this is going to go up and down, but I think both should still be rostered, as should Naz Reid, despite only having 11 points with not much else for the Spurs. Oh, click the button. Sohan, another really strong game, 19 and 10, four assists, a steal, a block. He's been really good. Easily their most consistent player, if you ask me. Wemby, after his 5-by-5 game, he came back to earth a little bit, but still, if this is a bad game, then we're in for a good season. 17 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal, 1 three-pointer. Chris Paul seems to have found his offensive repertoire again, 15 points, 13 assists. He's looked really good the last week. Champagne, we're not holding. Kelvin Johnson got hot off the bench. I don't really think you need to be adding him. Look at the schedule, though. Maybe you can stream him in for points, but nothing beyond that. Okay. All right. Miami and Washington. Pretty comfortable win here. Not surprising. Miami 118-98. For the Heat, very boring there. I say it all the time. They're one of the most boring teams. There is very little to talk about in terms of value shifts or anything like that. Butler, Bam. I put in my watch and learn. I think, can Bam take advantage of this favorable matchup and get back on track? And he did that. 32 points, 14 rebounds, a steal and a block. So maybe you were able to buy low on him. I don't know. That's probably closed now. Rozier wasn't at his best, only 12 points and 4 assists. Tyler Hero, 15 and 6 rebounds, but no one really needed to be at their best here against the Wizards. Alec Burks, he popped for 15 points off the bench, but we don't need to be looking at him in standard leagues. On to the Washington box score. Jordan Poole continues to play pretty well, 21 points, 2 steals. Look, yeah, I mean, it's come back a little bit, but he still looks good. He's still being aggressive offensively. He's handling the ball. The steals are curious, so we'll see if they stick, but it's really good. Bob Carrington, 37 minutes. That is probably the most encouraging part of this line. Although the 8 assists are interesting, 4 steals. So, yeah, not his best scoring night, only 4 points, but I think he's probably worth holding. I've got him in a couple of teams and I'm just going to roll with him. Alex looking better and better. He had 17 and 6 with 4 blocks. Kyshawn George had 6, 8, 3 blocks, a steal. Probably, look, if you're holding like a Caruso or... who else might you be holding for steals? I don't know, maybe Cason Wallace. I don't know. If you're holding someone just for defensive stuff, I'd give Kyshawn George a look as long as Kyle Kuzma is out. And Bilal Coulibaly, he continues to shoot the ball really well, 22 points, no defensive stats. So he's sort of doing the reverse of what we thought he would do. But nonetheless, a good performance. And Jonas Valanciunas, 16 minutes, 4 points, 7 rebounds, a steal and a block. Is he a drop? He's close. They just don't need him. He's going to play bigger minutes some nights and then other nights he's not, and depends on the opposition going small. I think he's probably a hold, but, yeah, I don't sort of envisage him being anything like he has been in the past. On to Utah. Look at Utah and Denver, a better performance. Utah at least got 100 points, 103, losing to the Nuggets, 129. Never really in doubt again here. Colin Sexton started with Jordan Clarkson out with plantar fasciitis. So Sexton only had 10 points, a steal, 4 assists, but only 6 shots. So weird. 26 minutes. I'm holding him at least while Clarkson is out because I think he'll continue to start. So just hold him and see what happens. Keontae George. Shooting was a little bit better here. He had 16 and 8. Walker Kessler, 18 and 14 with 5 blocks. He was a team worst minus 31, but the numbers are great. So if we ignore that column, a very good night for him. Filipowski, only 18 minutes and did nothing. Cody Williams, 20 minutes, did nothing. I'm not really looking at those guys. Johnny Juzang had 17 points off the bench, but hadn't been doing much prior to this. John Collins, 15 points in his 22 minutes. Really hard with the Jazz because they're just they're losing so many games by big margins that we don't really get a good read on what their rotation is going to look like. Close game, and it doesn't really matter because they don't play many close games. So it is a tough one. On to Denver. Jamal Murray was out with that concussion. So Russell Westbrook started. He Russell Westbrooked all over your percentages, 2 of 11 from the floor and 0 of 4 from the free throw line. It's the price you pay. As I said yesterday, his offensive decline is pretty impressive. He's worst shooter in the league. I don't know. He's right up there. He did salvage it. He had 7 assists, 5 steals. So if you can ignore the lack of points and the trash percentages, then this was okay. But then we get on to the good stuff. Christian Brown, 17 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. He continues playing really well as the starter. Jokic, strong game. Gordon, strong enough. Michael Porter Jr., strong game. Always going to happen against the Wizards. I did say that, or I was curious as to whether we'd see more Julian Strouther. We saw 19 minutes of Julian Strouther, and he had 19 points in those 19 minutes. This is what he was doing in the preseason. But I don't think this is anything we need to pay too much attention to. Unless we get word that Jamal Murray is going to miss more time with this concussion, they do vary. I know here in Australia, in our football and things like that, concussions are sort of 10 days at least, but there's different categories and all sorts of things. So we'll see. Strouther might be a points streamer if Murray is going to miss some more time. Portland and Phoenix. Portland go down 103-97, so kudos to them for keeping it close. Jeremy Grant back on track with 20 points, a steal and a block. Temani Kamara just keeps doing enough. Different categories every night, it seems. 7 points, 10 rebounds, 2 steals. He hit a 3. Should be rostered. DeAndre Ayton, 10 and 13. Should be rostered. I guess I say that with no enthusiasm at all. Anthony Simons played despite injuring his arm the night before, so nothing too serious. He had 20 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. And Denny Avdija, the shooting is still not where we want it to be. 13 points on 4 of 12 shooting, but once again, filling the box score, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Scoot Henderson, I questioned in my watch and learn whether we'd get more from him in this one, and we did not. 7 points in 17 minutes. I still think he's a hold, but yeah, it hasn't been great. If you don't need assists, he's getting close to being a drop. Donovan Klingon had 4 rebounds and a block in his 14 minutes. He is really just a streamer. Over to Phoenix. They had their full starting lineup here in this one and weren't stretched too much. Jusuf Nurkić with 15 rebounds and 3 points. He's been very disappointing, as we know, but you have to hold him. He's a starting center. They don't grow on trees, so he needs to be held. You just have to hope that he gets back on track. Tyus Jones, 6 assists and a steal. No one really exerted themselves too much here. Royce O'Neal, who I've been getting lots of questions about, is he must roster? Do we need to add him because he's top 70 player or something. Minutes are okay. Had 23, but 3 points, 3 assists, 7 rebounds, a steal and a block. He does contribute across the board, but he's just low volume and really not that exciting. So, I mean, if you want to roster him, go ahead. But I haven't picked him up anywhere and don't think I will be at this stage. And the final game of the night, the Clippers and the Thunder. The Thunder get another win, 105-92. We don't need to talk about Chet. We don't need to talk about Shai. Jalen Williams, the shooting, 5 of 16, but everything else is really good. So we don't need to worry about those guys too much. It's more the fringy, questionable guys. Lou Dort, after his 6 defensive stats the night before, he had 0 steals, 0 blocks, but did have 16 points. So he seems to be doing one or the other. If you want to hold him, you can. But again, I'm not that keen on him. Aaron Wiggins started, 3 steals, 12 points. fine. They're changing that fifth starter every game, it appears. Case and Wallace had 25 minutes off the bench. He is a steel streamer. He didn't get any here, but that's all he is. Isaiah Joe is a three-point streamer. He had four threes off the bench in his 22 minutes. Alex Caruso, look, he got two steals. That's really where the positives end. He played 16 minutes, 5 points. I dropped him in a couple of leagues last night and didn't regret it after this one game. And then finally onto the Clippers. Derek Jones, I think I saw DMAC put up most dropped players up on his Twitter feed like an hour ago, 2 hours ago, and Derek Jones was at the top of that list. I wouldn't be dropping him, and I'm not dropping him. This was just a bad game, 1 of 9 from the field and just nothing. So I'd be holding if I could. Norm Powell had 24 minutes, 2 steals. He continues rolling along. Zubats, a bit up and down over the past week, had 9 points, 12 rebounds, steal and a block, but he will be fine. But maybe that sell high has just closed a little bit after some of those early season performances. Chris Dunn played 20 minutes. Kevin Porter played 19 minutes. Batum played 20 minutes. All these guys are just, it's really just throw a dart, hope you land on the right one and stream one in. Tonight it was, I guess it was Dunn, 11 points. He had a steal. Kevin Porter had 7 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. None of them are reliable enough to be sustainable ads or anything like that. All right, that is the games. Let's get out of there. And as I said, we do have a couple of questions. Hini Mini asks, if I could trade Gobert for Bam, I should take it, correct? Even if I punt free throws and threes. With my punt, Gobert was better last year. Yeah, look, I'm not the biggest Bam fan. Their free throws actually aren't that far apart. I know that not Gobert's probably, I don't know, high 60s, and Bam for me is like a 74-75% shooter. So both are negatives. And Bam, I don't have the numbers in front of me, actually. Let me just have a look at I would think that Bam would get to the line a bit more, which would potentially make the impact of his free throws a little bit more significant. Where are we? Free throws, 4, and Gobert, 4. No, okay, so about the same. So, yeah, slightly better there for Bam. The threes, I know Bam is trying to take one a game or hit one a game, so that's obviously a bit different. Who would I rather? It probably would come down to the blocks for me, I think, because Bam does not block shots. Gobert does. So if you really need blocks, I would hold on to Gobert. But if you're okay, if you've got some other guys getting you blocks, I would probably go with Bam there. Ernest Tan, got offered Spider and D'Lo for my Suggs and Jalen Johnson. Should I take it? Injury risk for Spider is giving me pause. Should I ride the breakouts of my young guys? 12-team, head-to-head, 9-cap, redraft. Okay, so Donovan Mitchell, D'Angelo Russell for Suggs and Jalen Johnson. I'd probably hold Suggs and Jalen Johnson, to be honest. Spider is probably the best player there, but D'Lo is the worst. For me, I think Suggs this year with Paolo out for a while, I know it's been a red-hot week for Suggs, and he's going to have some going to cool off at some point, but the steals, the assists, he's doing everything at the moment, and he's going to have to continue to play really well. And Jalen Johnson, I think, is still exactly as we thought. I think he's going to be top 30, top 40. So I know Mitchell has been sort of borderline first round the last couple of years. I have no idea where he is this year because I don't actually have him in any teams. Let me have a look. Where is Donovan Mitchell? Oh, there he is. So Donovan Mitchell is the 39th ranked player this season, and I would assume I have to scroll up to get to Suggs. Suggs is the 8th ranked player. And Jalen Johnson is probably down a bit because of his percentages. Yes, he is way down at 114. But other than the percentages, Jaylen's at 16 and 10 with two steals and a block, five assists. He's doing this is exactly what we thought he would do as soon as he gets his field goal percentage above 41%, which I'm pretty confident it will. He'll get up to 19 points, close to 20 and 10 with the defensive stuff, with the assists. So, yeah, honestly, I think I'd probably take the Suggs and Jaylen Johnson side to that one. Mark, hey, Kingy, what's up, guys? What kind of return are you looking for when trying to trade Embiid? This is Ernest. Oh, okay, so this is Ernest Tan. So this is the rest of his team for the Spider, D'Lo, Trey, Poole, Brent Fleet, Maxi, Dyson, Kawhi, Alvarado. Alvarado streamer, but honestly, you're probably going to be holding him for a couple of weeks. I think I'd go with the Poole and the Jaylen Johnson there. What are you looking? Yeah, look, I told people not to draft Embiid because I figured just I had zero confidence in his knee coming into the year, and he's had multiple surgeries on the same knee, the exact same surgery. I figured him for probably 50 games to 55, and people were trying to push him up to 65. I mean, he's already missed, I don't know how many games they've played, six. He's not going to play back-to-backs. That already brings him down to, what are we at, 76 games remaining. They might have 15. So he's already at 60, and that's not including just missed games for other injuries and things like that. So if you're trying to trade him, probably. You want to get as high as you can, obviously. So if you're the one trading him away, you'd be trying to get a second rounder, I guess. But if you're offering up, if you're trying to acquire him in a trade, how high do you think you would have to go in terms of giving up? Giving up a player. Look, I think Embiid, if he plays 50 games, I think he's probably still a second rounder, even in totals. He's that good. So I'd probably offer up a third rounder and see if someone can bite. It's tough if you've got Embiid. I don't think anyone wants him at the moment. And with what he did today, we don't know if that's actually going to cost him any games, but it could if you get some sort of a suspension. I know there were no punches or anything thrown, but putting your hands on the media, I would say, is a big no-no. So, yeah, it's a tough one. Draymond, Suggs, Giannis, Kessler, Poeltl would be the ones that get blocks for me. Do you think it's enough? So that's in the BAM question. Poeltl's been really good. Kessler's been really good. Giannis is probably at a block a game, I figure. I don't know. He's another guy that I tend not to draft. I'll just see if I can find him here. He's at half a block. I don't know if you could say that he's getting new blocks. Suggs is a decent shot blocker for a guard. And who else have you got? Draymond, I wouldn't count on him for blocks. So for me, it's really Kessler and Poeltl. Kessler's probably 2.5. Poeltl's 1.8. It's probably four blocks between the air, six. You've probably got sort of six blocks there. And Gobert is sort of in between those guys. I think I'd have him at about two. So, yeah, it is going to be a pretty significant hit because I don't even think Bam gets one. Have a look. We're only, 2 weeks into the season, something like that. Have a look at your standings and sort, if you can sort, I don't know what platform you're on, but if you can sort by category, if you can go have a look at the blocks category and sort the standings, have a look where you're sitting in blocks. See if you're in the middle, up the top, down the bottom. It is only a small sample size, but it is 5 to 6 games. So it'll give you a bit of an idea of where you sort of sit in terms of blocks. And then you should be able to make a call as to whether taking one block per game off, which is basically what you're doing if you're going from Gobert to Bam. I did trade Poole for Fred Van Fleet and traded Fox for Jalen Johnson. Yeah, look, I think the Poole one is pretty good. I think end of season, Van Fleet, you're obviously giving up a lot of points there because Van Fleet has been pretty bad and won't get to the level that the Poole is at. But yeah, no, I think that's a good execution of a buy low and a sell high at the same time. And traded Fox for Jalen Johnson. Yeah, that one's probably pretty even, depending on what you need there. Both are really good at steals. Fox will get you more points and slightly more assists. Jalen Johnson will get you more rebounds, more blocks. So, yeah, I think that's a fairly fairly even trade. So, no, thanks for the questions, guys. Let me just take that off the screen. We don't need it there. All right, that will do. It is exactly 9:30 here, so time for people to go to bed. Not me. I've got work to do, but... that'll do for today's show. I'll be back. No, I won't be back tomorrow. So there won't be a show tomorrow because I'm going straight from work to a concert kind of thing. But I'll be back the following day with the post-game show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm Adam King. This has been the post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.